Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what's waiting on me in the future. I just don't know. I don't know what I'll be doing 10 years from now. I just don't know. But I believe that I'll be singing or teaching God's holy word. Oh, it's in my heart. Dark and weary, I can't hardly find my way. Sometimes my burdens get so heavy that I can't stop having sleepless nights and lonely days. But I believe if I keep holding on, God is gonna comfort me and keep me strong. Cause it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
Serve the Lord.
It's way down on the inside.
It's in my heart.
Oh, Lord.
Serve the Lord.
God planted His love.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
Serve the Lord.
He put it down in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Come on, baby.
Serve the Lord.
Now, I've been singing for a long, long time. I'm not gonna give up. Said I got a made up mind. Yeah, I've been lied on, mistreated by my so-called friends. But if I had another chance, I'd do it all again. It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Oh yeah.
It's in my heart.
Got it down in my heart. Yes, it is. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
It's in my heart.
Father.
It's in my heart.
I just want you to know I'm not doing this for shape, form, or fashion.
All right, welcome to Eagles and Fight Fellowship. It's a part Eagles and Fight Hour, excuse me. Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Celine Dupree. We thank God for just having an opportunity to come before you. Amen. And we would like to start this thing off with prayer. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, our God. We give you praise, honor, Lord. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord God, for you as you lead us, guys, and protect us in Jesus' name. Thanks for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord God, even as we engage in your word, Lord God. Thank you for new life springing forth in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord God, as we feast in your presence. Thank you, Lord God, fill us spiritually and even naturally, Lord God, on your word, and even fill our soul, Lord God, with hope and strength in Jesus' name. Touch your listeners out there, Lord God, that they shall be replenished as well, and even having hope for even throughout the holidays and everything, Lord God, and even as they just continue to go forth together on one accord. We thank you, Lord God, for just minister to their hearts, Lord God, that will cause them to go to another place in you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, as we engage in your word tonight, Lord God, let your word come alive like never before. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. 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 Tonight we're going to talk about Psalm 119. Amen. And we want to talk about a renewed life, you know, in His presence. We're talking about being renewed in this presence by the Word of God, and just those simple things that keep you walking strong with God. So we're going to be touching on some various, very, various different parts, but parts particular subject is talking about a renewed life, you know, in the Word of God, a renewed life in the Word of God. Amen. So we're going to start at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, in Psalm 119, starting at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do not, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways are directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy precepts, keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start, amen, at verse 1. We just want to just click, give you a reminder. If there's anyone who'd like to call in, make a comment, have a question, ask a prayer, the number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. That word blessed means to be happy. Are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Many times when we see this word blessed, you know, some people use always a counter to financial blessing. But, you know, you can be blessed in so many different ways, and especially not only financially, but health-wise, family-wise, you know. So, you know, everyone be healthy and, you know, and good. And just as far as all that you've been through, you don't look like what you've been through. And, you know, that's an encouragement as well, too, that a lot of many trials and tribulations that we go through and been through, we still stand strong even after coming through it. Even like how Joel says, the book of Joel says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And he also, when you bring me out, he should bring out his pure gold. And verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And this is a very key thing when we talk about being blessed. Once again, are they that keep his testimonies, you know. The testimonies of the Lord that he brought you out. And we talk about how we see the testimonies of how he delivered children of Israel from out of the hands of Pharaoh and all of that, and even as far as Joseph are doing the mighty testimonies of the Lord, how he delivered and how he delivered on time. And the only way that, you know, they truly were delivered only by the hand of God. And, it, you know, when we see things like that, we understand the testimonies of the Lord. Those are what he wanted to hold us to hold in our heart close. Because if he did it for them, he can also do it for us. And it's always good to know that we have that testimony of the Lord to say that, you know, the Lord, you did it for them. You can do it for us, and we're going to believe you for it. And we're not going to put a limitation on you because you was able to part the Red Sea. You know, who's to say you couldn't do it again? You know, it just all depends according to him as he moves. But there's nothing impossible to them that believe.
Praise God. This scripture, when we look at the Word of God, and it tells us, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. God is not seeking for you to be the most perfect person in the world. You know, the Bible tells us that we are striving for perfection. So what God is looking for are those whose hearts, intentions, and actions match righteousness. You're somebody endeavoring to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. You're someone endeavoring to walk upright before the Lord. Your heart intention is to do good. Your heart intention is to follow the will of the Lord. Those are the people that God are saying blessed. It's not meaning that you'll never trip and fall. It's not meaning that something won't happen and you won't have to repent. But when we look at your life and we look at your lifestyle, you're walking, for the most part, according to the will of God and plan of God for your life. You're not living a lifestyle of sin. You're not living a lifestyle where you can be blamed because you're doing things that are not according to the plan of God, or you're not living a lifestyle where someone can come in and walk in and be an accuser of you of something. The enemy can come in and accuse you of something because you're not living a lifestyle of that. That's not how you make your life, but you strive to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. God's going to bless you. You know, sometimes the enemy tries to trick you and make you think that because you're not doing you're not dotting every I and crossing every T, that you're not blessed and that things are happening in your life because you're not doing everything perfect. There is no perfect person. There is no perfect person that exists. And the minute you meet them, that's the minute they're imperfect, because there's no perfect person. But God seeks for us to do what is right to the best of our ability, to as much as we possibly can. And then he can call you blessed. You're blessed then. Not you're intentionally walking into sin or doing things like, forgive me, Lord, I'm about to do this. You can't ask for forgiveness for something before you do it. But we do that. People do that a lot. You know, forgive me, Lord, I'm about to say something, or forgive me, Lord, I'm about to do something. You know, you are intentionally walking into sin. You have a choice, and you're making the negative choice. And God is looking for those people to bless that are going to go about the way that is walking according to the law of the Lord, that is walking according to his will and his plan. And when you do that, the blessings of God can continue to flourish in your life. Because you are endeavoring to do what God has called you to do.
Amen. So, as we want to look at that again in verse 1 to make a point here, blessed are the undefiled in the way. That word defiled means, defiled means to make unclean, impure, to corrupt the purity of, or perfection of, violation of the chastity, to make physically unclean, especially something unpleasant, contamination, to violate the sanctity of. Now, he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So, when we say, when we walk in the law of the Lord, the word of God, and you're undefiled, that means you're not corrupted, you're not tainted. You know, the word of God itself will help purify you. Matter of fact, John chapter 15, it says in verse 2 or 3, says you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Amen. So the word of God will cleanse you and wipe out those things that's impure. That's why we're reminded of Romans chapter 1 and 2. I was teaching, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, so that's why we're supposed to approve what is that good and perfect will of God. You know, as the word of God goes through our heart, renewing our mind, you know, as we continue to renew our mind, it helps us to wipe out the old mindset, the old way of thinking, and bring in a new way. So, it's very important for us to make sure that we walk undefiled in the way that we walk. To listen to those that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Once again, going back to that whole heart. God wants your whole heart. Give God all or nothing. Amen. God don't want a half-filled heart or a half-passionate heart. He wants a whole heart that's functioning on him, that's focused on him, and that's not afraid to give up. Amen. As you go further, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. They also do no iniquity, any evils, and they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Keep his precepts diligently. You know, we work on keeping his word diligently, keep on, you know, stay in his presence, his laws, statutes, his principles. You know, these gods are God's principles, and he honors principles. And when we make sure we operate the principles of God, this will also ensure that we'll get his results, because he's a God of, that's why we have to make sure that we're walking in alignment with the Word of God and in agreement with the Word. Amen. We can't, don't believe one thing, but then we're going to believe another. It's either the, it's the whole role. We got to receive the whole role. Amen. So even as we see how that's working out so diligently, that word means consistent, you know, staying continuously on something or doing something or saying something, you know, repeatedly. Amen. And they're always reliable. Amen. He said he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. They who seek him more than just one time a year or two times a month, but constantly seeking his face. Amen. That's where it's supposed to be.
In that scripture, when we look at verse 4, the New International Version says, the King James says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. The New International Version says, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. And what happens sometimes, the Apostle Marcus just mentioned, you know, making sure that we are renewing our minds. And on a daily basis, that we're making sure that our mind is cleansed. What happens a lot of times, too, is there are things that we allow to come in that corrupts us, or we allow to come in that interrupts our faith because we've allowed it. We have to be careful with what we're letting come in through the eye gate and through the ear gate. We have to be careful on what we're watching on television, what we're listening to, because those things can distract us, can deter us, can alter what we know is true according to the Word of God. It can shake our faith. It can shake our stance in God if we see, if we're seeing too much of the wrong things, or we're watching the wrong things, or we're listening to the wrong things. It can cause that which we know is true and right to be distorted, so to speak. So if you are strong in faith, according to his word, and you're following what he's told you to do, and then you turn on the television and you see something that's completely opposite, and you allow it to get into your heart, now you begin to worry, or you begin to speak negative things against what you know God has already promised you, and you've allowed something from the outside to get in and alter the stance that you've had. And we have to be careful as believers about that, because the enemy does send things and put things out there so that we can turn our faith away from God, so that we can turn what we know is right in the sight of the Lord and do completely opposite. He wants us to do things according to the world system and the way that the world does, but we don't live according to the world system. We are people of faith. We live by faith. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith, and faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so in order for us to live according to the precepts and obey his word fully, we have to know what it says. You can't obey God if you don't know what he's saying. You can't obey his word and live according to his word if you don't know what his word is saying. And so we have to make sure that we're communicating with the Father and we're reading his word to see where we should be, where our heart should be, where our mind should be. We shouldn't pay attention more to what the world system is saying to determine how we're going to be on a daily basis. We should be paying more attention to what the Word of God is telling us, because that is our roadmap. The Word of God is what we live by as born-again believers. This is our faith. This is our roadmap. This is our instruction manual. And he made sure that he not only left it, but he left it with power attached to it. And when you get that power with that word together, understanding what the Lord is saying, and it becoming alive unto you, that is when you have revelation. And so in order for us to walk according to his precepts, in order for us to fully obey his word, being diligent We have to know what it says.
Hello, you still alive? Pastor? Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm here. Yes, thank you very much. Okay, as we talk the word precept, it's a rule that says how people should behave and live, and a command or principle intended especially as a general rule of action, an order issued by a legally constituted authority to a subordinate official. So we understand that it's this rule that says how people should live and behave. That's what we see where the Old Testament came in, the tablets, kind of giving people direction. Because even as Moses was up there and getting instruction from God, the people was going crazy, doing what they wanted to do. It's all living out of chaos and just out of whack. And that's supposed to show you with the reason why God gives us scripture, gives us the commandments, is to give us order. And when we have that order, a way to bring, when we begin to apply the order to our lives, it gives us structure. Amen. And with that structure, it brings health, security, and a lot of different things. You know, a lot of things won't happen just because that's out of whack. So all of that working together works in our favor. All right, verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And amen. Also, the number is to call in the 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the cue box. Amen. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then should I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. So we have to see here, he said that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. My love for him would cause me to be compelled to keep the statutes. He said, you love me, keep my commandments. And that when with that kind of word coming forth to your heart, it encourages you to live a life that's pleasing before the Lord. It encourages you to really live this thing out, walk it out. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Amen. No shame, to be not ashamed, and really respecting the word of God and the commandments and living it out to be what it is. Not, you know, sometimes, you know, some people will ask us if we're a believer, if we're not careful, we decide, I'm not, just in order to fit with a certain status quo or just to be accepted. And that's where God wants us to make sure that we are committed. He makes sure that we are truly members. We're going to do what we have to do to make sure we stay linked up and connected to God, and we're going to flourish. Amen. And that's what you got to believe what it is that you believe in. You have to make sure you believe. So we thank God for how he's beginning to shape our thought to that.
When we look at this scripture, it reminds me, when I was growing up as a little girl, it reminds me of one of the rules that my mother had when we were in the house, was that when she wasn't home, if we got home to school before her, if she wasn't home, whoever got home first or whoever's week it was, make sure that when you get in the house, you clean it, make sure the kitchen is clean. So by the time she gets home, she's able to come in and go straight to doing dinner, because there's no mess in there from the morning or whatever. And I remember, in the beginning stages of that, there were a few times that my mom came home and she'd walk in the house and we were watching television or playing or something. And she said, didn't I tell you guys to have this kitchen clean when I get in here? And now I got to stand here and either wait, or if I want to really just get it done, I got to come in here and clean this kitchen because you all did not do what I asked you to do before I get dinner started. And I remember feeling so bad as a little girl because I didn't listen. And I was the oldest girl, and I didn't listen to what my mom said. I felt so bad because I know it was a disappointment for her. And, of course, it's also going to interrupt her flow. But I was more hurt because I disappointed my mom because I wasn't obedient to what she had asked me to do. And I was very capable. It wasn't anything wrong with me. I just chose to do something else. I chose to play or I chose to do whatever. And I remember, you know, just feeling really bad that I didn't get that done. And then as we got older and understood why she asked us to do that a little bit more, she didn't have that problem. And I remember feeling when she walked in the house and she said, oh, great, I can get started right away. I remember feeling really good because I had done what she had said and it wasn't a disappointment to her and she was proud of me. And when I look at this scripture, and the NIV, it says, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I considered all your commandments. And it makes me think of that. It makes me think, you know, when God tells us to do according to his word, and even in those times when he speaks to us and he gives us commandments, and when we do them, how good it feels that when the Lord comes and he's seeking to see if we've done, how good it feels. But then there are those times when God has given us a decree. He's given us a commandment. He's told us to do things, and we haven't done it. And when he comes to us, and the Lord said, when things happen, and the Lord said, didn't I tell you to pray, you know, for a few minutes? And because you didn't pray, the situation is in chaos right now. How bad it feels because we weren't obedient to what the Lord told us to do. You know, how bad it feels that not just because things have happened as a result of our disobedience, but just the feeling of disappointing our Lord and Savior. Imagine how the disciples had felt when the Lord said, couldn't you pray with me for 1 hour? I went away and I said, just watch and pray. And you guys couldn't pray for 1 hour? Just imagine how disheartening that was for the Lord, and then how the disciples sensed the disappointment from the Father because they've been walking with him all this time, and the only thing he asked them to do is pray for 1 hour, and it just took them a while to get it, just like it took us a little while to understand about this, getting this kitchen clean before your mom gets home. But before we got to the point of understanding, it was like a couple of times we just disappointed them, and a couple of times we had to feel that hurt of how it made our mother feel. Same thing with the disciples, because right after that they did it again. And it just took them a minute just to get it, you know, but it's such a joy and a pleasure when you do the obedient thing and God gives you a confirmation of what he had told you to do. He gives you a confirmation of the word. He gives you a confirmation of something he said, and he allows you to see it. And you don't have this prideful, no stuck up in the air attitude, but you have this settled in your spirit attitude, like, thank God I listened. Thank God I did what you told me to do. The Lord told me to do such and such, and I'm glad I followed my spirit. Because I followed my spirit, that prevented me from doing this, or that prevented this from happening. And it feels good, because you're not ashamed. You didn't put anything to shame because you listened to the Lord and you saw the result of your obedience. And that's what the scripture is telling us, just reminding us. When we follow his command, when we do what he's called us to do, we don't bring shame to the word. Whether it's logos or rhema, we don't bring shame to the word of God. We do exactly what God has called us to do, and we are able to see the good result. We are able to reap the good harvest of our obedience. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And verse 7 says, I will praise thee with righteousness of heart when I shall learn thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, oh, forsake me not utterly. Amen. So as we can continue to see here, now we incorporate praise with this. He said, I will praise thee with joyful lips. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. Excuse me. Uprightness of heart. The heart of the matter is very important, because you can go through the motions of praise and you can try and go through the motions of worship, but if your heart is not there, it's not truly connecting, amen, to the things of God. Amen. So God knows truly when that prayer or that touch is sincere. And that's why we have to make sure that we do things with uprightness of heart. Because when I have received, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, or forsake me not utterly. So when we understand as far as keeping the statutes, keeping the word, and the way of living, or forsake me not utterly. When we have to, as we understand here, we see all this in motion, and we don't, you know, we know that the Lord said he would never leave us or forsake us. That's why we can hold on to the scriptures and understand he would not leave us. He would not leave us stranded or forsake us. He's going to be right there with us to the very end. Amen.
One of the things we have to remember when we are learning, just like with children, when they are learning, there's sometimes a lot of error and there are a lot of mistakes and there are a lot of do-overs in the learning process, and they're not intentional. They're just having to learn. Mostly everything you see that a child does is a learned behavior. and so when we look at this scripture here that Apostle Marcus just read in verse 7 of the NIV, it says, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. And when I see that scripture, what I'm seeing there in that word is that in the learning, there may be some fumbles, there may be some falls, there may be some do-overs. But even in that, I'm going to continue to praise you because I know you're still on the throne. You're God of gods, the Lord of lords. You're the King of kings. And even in my errors and even in my falls, I'm not going to get depressed and down in the dumps because those things happen. I'm going to pick myself back up according to your will and through the power of the Holy Spirit and keep going and keep learning. You ever see a baby learning to walk? Most of the time, you know, as adults, when we trip and fall, oh, my gosh, we just waddle in it, and it takes us 5-6 days to get ourselves back together and then we have to do all these Hail Marys, and then we feel the power. I mean, just stuff like that. When you see children, when they're learning to walk, they fall down and get back up. They might cry a little bit. And one of the things I notice with most children is if nobody sees them, you know, they'll just get up. You know, sometimes when our kids are wrong, as they're growing up and we see the behavior, we watch. And if the little ones fall and hurt themselves, I'll see it and I might look away because I know if I look at them and they make eye contact, they're going to cry and, oh, they're going to go through this little spill about how much they've fallen and they hurt themselves and they want to show you their hand and they need a bandage. But if you act like you don't see them, most of the time they'll just get up and keep playing because, okay, well, there's nobody to soothe anything, so I'll just keep playing. And they just keep going. The kids are just, they're just falling, keep going. And that's why the Bible mentions about having a childlike faith, a childlike heart in some areas of our life, because in that particular area, just imagine if Christians, when they did have a stumble or a fall, they just get back up, they repent, and they ask God to forgive them, and they get back up, and they just keep going. And then some things aren't even a thing of sin. It's just that you kind of made a mistake. It's not a sinful thing, and you just keep going instead of staying in the muck and the mire of what happened. It happened. Maybe you had no control over it. Get through it and keep moving. The train doesn't stop. You're just being left behind. Just keep moving. Keep it moving. There's so much to do in the body of Christ. There's so many souls to win. There's so many people that need hands laid on them to be prayed for. There's so much healing that needs to be take place. There's so much touching and agreeing on certain matters. We don't have time to sit and wallow in our personal affairs like that. You know, deal with it, handle it, and get through it and move on. Why? Because you're supposed to be an asset in the body of Christ, not a liability. And when you're an asset in the body of Christ, we need you to get through those situations so that you can win some more souls, so that you can keep expanding the body of Christ, so that you can keep enriching those that are already born again in the body of Christ, so that you can keep being obedient, keep praying. Those people that are intercessors, you don't have time to waddle in anything. When you're an intercessor, you're like a foundation of a building. You don't have time for that. You have to stay. I know it's hard sometimes, but you have to stay up on your prayer because of the necessity of the office that you hold. time for that. So you got to keep it moving. You got to keep going. Okay, God, we fumbled on that. Let's just forgive me. You know, God, I'm going to follow your plan the next time. We're going to get through this, and let's keep going. Now, what did you say you need? Who did you need me to pray for tonight? You know, it's like keep it going. Keep it going. God, you know, he knows our hearts and our heart's intention, but we can't allow the enemy to come in. And all he needs is a little foothold to get in. And the minute you start being down in the dumps, it opens the door for depression. It opens the door for suicidal thoughts. It opens the door for negativity. It opens the door for all kinds of things. The devil has a truckload of stuff that he could just put on your chest and put on your shoulder. And then after he's done with everything with you in the spiritual realm, then he attacks your body, you know, and then you start being ill physically. And he has a whole bunch of stuff that he could just, you know, just don't give him any place. Don't give him any room. The enemy would love to just have just a plague field day, playground with you. But we can't let him in and we can't let him win. And so when God gives us a command, you know, and he wants us to do what is right in his sight, we just got to do it. And we got to remember that in the learning of our walk, that in that learning process, there's going to be a fumble here or there because you're learning. Children that are learning, they have a lot of do-overs, and God knows that. He knows that if this is your first time doing it. God is not a dragon slayer. He's not going to just kill you dead, and this is your first time doing this. He knows that you're in a learning, and everything that we do for the Lord and according to his plan and his will for our life, you know, everything we do, we should learn from it anyway. And so God is a gracious God, and he loves us so much that he gives us 10,000 chances. And so don't be so hard on yourself when you're in the learning process. When you're in the learning process, you keep it raised up. You keep praising God. You keep lifting your hands and giving him praise and glory, and he'll take care of the rest. And just keep it moving. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. When we go to the verse 9, well, before we go to the verse 9, we just want to remind you, if anyone who wants to call in, the number to call is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Amen. And we're going to go to verse 9. Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy ways. Thank you, Jesus. As we go further, amen, as we look at that, with my whole heart have I sought thee, or let me not wander from my commandments. So here is, wherewithal, how can a young man keep himself cleansed with the word of God or be purified? And truly, it's by the word of God. The word of God is going to be that thing that's going to make the difference in our lives. And Jesus, and as we can see the blood of Jesus, how what the blood of Jesus can cleanse us and make us whole, even as he forgives us of sin and any unrighteousness. And John 1, 1 John verse 1 and 9. That helps us to understand that there's so much power in his blood to cleanse us and even forgive us and set us free. You know, that's the same way even with the word, you know, here. How can a young man keep his way or keep walking to cleanse his way? So the word of God will always be the game changer and actually purifies and cleanses himself. So as we see here, he goes on further to say, by taking heed thereto according to thy word, with my whole heart, once again, have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Let me not wander from thy commandments. You know, sometimes we can just, as we're walking somewhere, we can begin to wander off from one place. We may start off looking at a few flowers, and next thing you know, you start to see a butterfly, and next thing you know, you let off course if you're not careful. And so God wants us to understand he wants to be fruitful. He wants to be passionate people, but then at the same time, he wants us to walk in a way that's going to be upright for the Lord, that we're not going to leave his side or leave him once things get to a certain way, it gets a little better, you know. Amen. So we was here. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, Lord, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of the earth. So we see here, verse 11, says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. So we hold that word in our heart so it can be a governor in our life to help us, to help govern us, to lead us in the way that we need to go that's going to be righteous, it's going to be right. So sometimes when we allow the enemy to have a place in our life, we so easily get caught up on the other side that we end up find ourselves in a place where we don't need to be. And so that's where the word of God helps us and it strengthens us. Amen. He said, that word have I hid in my heart. I get a picture of putting that word in my heart, and it's going to have enough strength to hold me back from sin. Amen. And that's what's going to happen. Amen. That I might not sin again against thee. Thou art the Lord, blessed art thou, Lord. Well, Lord, teach me thy statutes. So here he's crying out, asking the Lord, you know, to teach him his statutes. You know, and we ask the Lord to teach us. He will teach us, he will feed us, and he will prepare us for whatever we have to do in life or whatever comes along. But his whole heart is to feed, or as a matter of fact, save the lost, but then also feed those who maybe lacking direction. He said, the hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So as you have a hunger for righteousness, as you have a hunger for doing what's right and going forth in the things of God, he has no problem filling you up. He has no problem giving you direction or protection. So we have to always remember that he's always there for us, no matter what. That's why that word is sent there into our heart. That's why it's designed the way it's designed, to keep us in place. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. So once again, he's just crying out to God, asking him to teach him. He want to know. You know, I can imagine he's just, you know, going through different changes, but you know what? I want to know the truth, and I need to know the truth. Amen. So and he said, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of the earth. Of their mouth. So when we make judgments, these are like final calls. Closure. When we hear the judgment from a case, that's the final answer. That's the final word on the case and whatever the case may be. So that's why we have to begin to speak. Remember, power of God is in your mouth. You know, as you speak it, you can actually, if you speak enough, you can begin to shape your world, cultivate your world. You can begin to stop some things that's in motion. And say, well, you can stop some things of emotion as well. So as you understand your authority and the keys of the kingdom, there's always an operation in you.
So when we look at this scripture, it says, I have hidden your word in verse 11 in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, the only way the word can be hidden is if you do it. If you ever play hide and seek, or you play a game where you hide something behind your back and the person has to choose the right hand, there is action going on there. That person is doing something. The word of God is not going to be hidden in your heart by sleeping with the Bible under your pillow. The word of God is not going to be hidden under your heart by having a big Bible on your coffee table. The word of God is not going to be hidden in your heart by riding around with your Bible in your car, having it in your desk at your office. The word of God is going to be hidden in your heart because you put it in your heart. You meditate on the word, and the Bible tells us in Joshua 1:8 that we should meditate on the word day and night. And the only way it's going to get in you is if some kind of way is being put in you. It doesn't happen by osmosis. You can't suck it through a straw. I mean, it just doesn't happen like that. You have to actually do something in you. You have to read it. You have to study it. You have to meditate on it. You have to take those scriptures and pray and ask God to give you revelation and give you insight and understanding and open the eyes of your understanding, that they'll be enlightened so that you can know exactly what those scriptures are saying to you and for you. And then when the enemy comes in, like a flood, one of the ways that the Spirit of the Lord can lift up a standard against them is because the words that come from your mouth is the word of God to combat what the enemy is trying to make you do or portray in front of you. It says in the, it continues to say, praise be to you, O Lord, teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Recount means to recall, to bring back to your remembrance. With your lips, you can say the word of God again, that which you've been putting into your heart, that you've hidden in your heart, now it comes bubbling out of your spirit when you need it because you've put it in you. If you don't put it in, then it's not going to come out. We put a lot of things in us. We do. We put a lot of things in us. I remember growing up, you know, we watched a lot of TV. I mean, we just really liked television, and so we watched a lot of TV. We had to do other things too, read and study and all that, but we did watch a lot of TV. Today, the kids, you know, they do a lot of video games or Wii or Xbox and all that. But, you know, in my time, we did watch a good bit of television. So I have a lot of episodes in my memory bank. I could probably recite a lot of episodes of things like Good Times and Sanford and Son, you know, things like that, because we saw those reruns over and over again. And so I have a memory, and if we start talking about episodes, it'll come back to me. That's how God wants us to be with the Word of God. When we're talking about Him and we're talking about His goodness and we're ministering to each other, He wants the Word of God to come back up. But that's because it put in. It's not going to come back up. When we get in situations in this world system, He wants the Word of God to flow from our mouth, not the worst curse word to flow from our mouth. Somebody cut you off in traffic, and you don't say, oh, Lord, help this person. No, you don't say that. You say, bleep, 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 because that's what you've been putting in. If you put that in you, if you put that stuff in you, that's the stuff in the heat of the moment of things is going to come out. So you got to put the Word of God in, and then you're able to recount it with your lips. You're able to re-say it. You're able to say, you know, the devil is a liar. The Lord tells me that if I resist the devil, he must flee. The Lord tells me that if I speak to this mountain, that it has to be removed, not climbing the rough side of it. That's not what the Bible tells us. I got to climb the rough side so I don't fall. It's got to be a rough side so I don't slide down. It can't be a smooth side. Some craziness they did with the song. But it's not even according to the Word of God. It's all against the Bible. The Bible says speak to the mountain and the mountain will be removed. He tells you to speak to it. But in order for that word to come out, you have to put that word in. The Bible tells us, you know, blessed is the man that does certain things, the beatitudes, you know, that you got to put that stuff in you in order for that stuff to come out. And so this part of the scripture right here is a constant reminder of how the Word of God has to be eaten in order for it to come back up. You know, this is kind of gross, but you know when you regurgitate, if you ate a steak, you're not going to regurgitate chicken. Whatever you eat is what you, if you're going to regurgitate, that's what you're going to regurgitate. So if you eat a word, then when it's time for that word to come back up, that's what will come back up.
Amen. It sure will. Amen. Amen. As we see in verse 14, I rejoice in the way of the testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Glory to God. Amen. It's very good there how, you know, he's telling us, verse 14, I rejoice in the way of the testimonies as much as in all riches. So he's excited about, you know, as far as just being able to use and just even as far as just by listening to the testimonies, he gets excited because he want to be there too. Amen. And as we see here, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy persons. I will delight myself in the sessions, and I will not forget thee. Let me forget thy word too. Do not forget thy word. As we can continue to see here how the word of God is beginning to move in motion, and you meditate, think on, ponder the precepts, the way God is calling you to live the structure, and he have respect for thy ways. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we look at the how people just do anything in the house of God. We just can do stuff with no conscience to it and just feel, they can do stuff and just try to get away. That goes to let us know that that's the fear of the Lord that needs to come back to the house of God. So, when we respect his presence, then he'll be more apt to perform the word, amen, like never before, amen, in our lives. So I will delight myself in the statutes. I will not forget that word. Verse 17, 18 in our last two for tonight. Deal bountifully with our servant that I may live and keep thy word. Deal bountifully, deal much with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. See, we want the Lord of God, with the word of God, to minister to us. Deal with us as we continue to read the word, meditate day and night. As we continue to allow the Lord to minister to us, we will begin to see what it is the Lord wants to see. We begin to get sculpted or cultivated in our gifting. And here we say, I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. Amen. So we don't forget the word of God as we continue to strive in it, as he continues to deal with us. Deal bountifully with our servants. So as we are his servants, that's why it's very important for the Lord we allow the word of God to minister to us. If the word begins to deal with us first, then it will begin to deal with us, then it deals with others as we release the word. That's why we have to read the word of God, Isaiah 54 tells us, Isaiah 55 tells us that the word goes forth out of my mouth, it will return not into me void. When it comes into make contact with us, and then when it comes to contact with our heart, it never should go back to God or go anywhere the same way it came. So when it goes forth and we receive it in our heart, it begins to cause change in our life. It causes us to begin to really check ourselves, really begin to deal with ourselves, and really look ourselves in the mirror. And that's why when it comes to the word of God, we ought to have an attitude of, I know we're still a work in progress, but I'm going to let the Lord. That's for saying for all of us. We all still a work in progress as we're reading the word, and we're going to allow the word to minister to us and deal with us, correct us in our ways as we continue to get closer to him. So, amen. So as we continue to see the what happens as he's dealing bountifully with his servants, that I may live and keep that word. Amen. So that I may live and keep that word. So not only, because if you're not walking in obedience to God, you just exist and not living. So we thank God for him keeping us connected, and we're living on his word. Amen. And keep that word. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things of the Lord. Amen.
In this last scripture, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law. If you're not a person that the word of God has been easy for you to study or get into, and you might be saying, I know you said put the word in, but man, it just seems like every time I start reading, I fall asleep. Or every time I start studying, I just don't get it. Or every time I, it's just not working. I'm really trying to get into this word, but it's just not working. This is a prayer that you can pray for yourself. And you just say, Lord, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law. Ask God to give you not just the hunger, but that your excitement of the word of God will grow. That, ask him to open your eyes that you'll see those things that just get you excited. And I guarantee you, if you begin to pray like that before you study, pray like that before you get into the Word of God. Lord, let my eyes see the wonderful things in this Word of God. Lord, make this Word interesting to me. Lord, increase my hunger for your Word. Increase my desire to just get into your Word. I guarantee you that if you pray like that every time before you study, that your hunger for the Word will increase, your desire to seek his Word will increase. You'll be trying to finish everything that you're supposed to when you get home just to get into his Word. It will grow and attract. You'll have an attraction for the Word of God like never before, because the Word of God is here that's telling us, you know, when I see that scripture, that tells me that it's possible. Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law. This is telling me that it's possible that I can read your scripture and just see the great and marvelous things in it. This is telling me that it's possible that I can seek your face and just get deep into this word and see all those wonderful things in there. You know, it's not always that God is we get into the word and he shows us all these things that we can't do and we're not supposed to do. It's not always going to be like that. The Lord, you should be able to see things in the Word of God that you can do. You see your privileges. You see your rights. You see your relationship. You see how it should be between you and God. David, you know, he was a man of God that had a lot of issues. You know, David had a lot of issues. But in all of that, God still said he was a man after my own heart. He was a man that was after God's heart. He was a man of God that was after God's heart. He wanted to do what was right. He wanted he had a desire to live upright before the Lord. And he always repented and he always went to God's face and he always talked with the Lord and he always sought out after God. And so, you know, God wants that intimate relationship with us. But we have to get into this word and we have to talk to God and we have to have that time with him. And even though it's difficult at first, it's going to be a little hard, but you make it happen. And when you begin to do that and you begin to make it happen, what ends up happening is that your hunger will increase for it even more. And instead of coming home after work or coming home after school and wanting to do other things, you really want to get in the presence of God. Your desire for his presence will increase, and in his presence there's fullness of joy. In his presence is where you get your instructions. In his presence is where you have your desires fulfilled. And so, you know, just an encouragement that to follow the word of God, and he will do exactly what he's promised. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for everyone listening in tonight on Eagles in Flight call. And we just give God praise for you being here tonight. We thank God for all the ears that are listening. And maybe you're listening tonight and you heard the word, but you're not born again. And you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior so that you can have this intimate relationship that we've been talking about and that you can get into the word so that you can follow his commandments. You know, you can't do it on your own. I hear people say all the time, I'm going to get saved, I just got to get some things right. What they're really saying is they want to clean up their life before they give their life to Christ. That's impossible. You don't have enough anointing. You don't have any anointing. You don't have any power to do that. In order for your life to get right and be cleansed the way it should be, you need the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And in order for that to happen, you have to know Christ. So it's not a thing of getting yourself cleansed and right to be saved. You just need to get saved. And God will put all the anointing and the power in you to get yourself cleaned up and to get yourself right. There are people that have gotten born again and they went up to the altar drunk. And when they left the altar, they had no taste of alcohol in their breath. Or they went to the altar, you know, full of weed. When they left the altar, there's no desire for the drug, no taste for the drug, don't know what happened to the high, just left them. So you cannot do this. It's the Holy Ghost that has to do it. So if you're listening tonight and you want to be born again, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be born again. I thank you, Lord, and I confess my sin to you. I thank you, Father, for forgiving me, for being a sinner, for living a sinful lifestyle. And I thank you that I receive you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I thank you, Father, for dying on the cross for my sins so that I could be saved, set free, healed, and delivered. And so I thank you that I am born again in the name of Jesus. And I give you praise for receiving me in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you pray that prayer, you're a born-again believer. And now that you're a born-again believer, you can get into that word and begin to put the word of God in your heart. And as you read and as you study and as you pray, God will give you the revelation of his word, and he'll show you how that word will work in your life, and you can build a personal relationship with the Father because he loves you. He loves us all. And so we thank you so very much tonight for being here, for listening to Eagles in Flight Hour, and we want to invite you to our services. We have services on Sundays at 5 p.m. and on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, this week is going to be on Monday. We switched for the holiday, but normally on Tuesdays is at 7 o'clock p.m. We invite you to come and listen in. Our number for Eagles Wings International Ministries is 843-619-0410, and you don't need an access code to listen in. You'll be dialed right on into the ministry and our services on the call line. And so we thank you again for listening to Eagles in Flight Hour. God bless. Good night.
Mississippi song.